the highest standard.
3 minutes past the hour of 3 o'clock, coming your way on the Gym Class right here on KGYM. Thank you very much for joining us here today. We got a full boat for you coming up. We're going to talk to John Krant from Gym Fight Sports. Plenty to talk about, the NCAA Final Four, chief among them. We'll do that in a little bit. Also, Bob Herrick, senior golf writer for ESPN.com, will be joining us. Was scheduled yesterday, but he will be on today. Masters preview coming up as the battle for the green jacket will get underway next Thursday. That down at Augusta, Georgia. Bowling Night in America recap and a whole lot more. All that coming up here on a Thursday edition of the Gym Class right here on KGYM. Greetings and welcome, everyone. Scott Unash, along with Mark Dukes, Alex Kuhn, our producer. It is a Gym Class coming your way right here on KGYM for a Thursday. Overcast and rainy out there. But we'll try to brighten things up for you as we take it through the 3 o'clock hour here today. Coming up on the show, we've got another chance for you to win with the Colonel's Opening Day Double Play Giveaway. Our fourth day of that, not one, but two pair of tickets to see the Colonels on opening weekend, Saturday, April the 8th, Sunday, April the 9th, against the Beloit Snappers, beginning at 5:05 out of Perfect Game Field, Veterans Memorial Stadium. So we will have that for you coming up here in just a little bit. As I mentioned, John Krant will be joining us, as well as Bob Herrig. And we will recap bowling from last night. NBA basketball coming up tonight. A good one at 8:30 on all three of our frequencies. 1600 AM, 107.5, 106.3 FM. It'll be the Houston Rockets taking on the Portland Trail Blazers coming up this evening. Good afternoon, Mark.
Good afternoon. The start of 4 hours of local programming. Of course, the Afternoon Players Club comes up after us with Tyler Ryder and Todd Brommelkamp. Among the guests, new Colonels manager Tommy Watkins. That should be entertaining.
Our friend Tommy.
Yes.
Yeah.
Tom Cakert, talk about some Iowa sports, and number 3 and 4 on the guys' top 10 baseball list today.
Indeed. So that'll be coming up from 4 o'clock until 7 o'clock. Some breaking news to let you know about AP. Of course, we had the All-American Awards yesterday. AP came out with their college basketball awards. Frank Mason of Kansas, the AP Player of the Year. Mark Few of Gonzaga is the AP National Coach of the Year. Not a big surprise with either one of those choices, I got to think. News conferences going on in Phoenix as we get closer and closer to the Final Four. We'll have it for you on Saturday beginning at 2:30 with the Final Four show. Again, that'll be on 1600 AM, 107.5 and 106.3 FM. Women's Final Four going off this weekend as well. That starts tomorrow. We'll join up with the coverage beginning at 7 o'clock tomorrow night for you on KGYM. And then it's baseball and basketball leaking over into one another coming up on Sunday. We got some NBA basketball in the afternoon. We've got the women's championship game coming up for you. And we've got also on 1600 AM on Sunday night, start of the baseball season, as it'll be the Cubs and the Cardinals. And that'll be coming up from Busch Stadium in St. Louis. And looking forward to the baseball season, certainly. And that's where we go for our Emil's Hideaway poll question today.
Indeed. Will the Cubs repeat as World Series champions in 2017? Yes or no? Go to KGYMradio.com, access that, our upcoming live sports programming. Emil's Hideaway on First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids, next to Home Depot, behind Taco John's. Of course, some of the teams, including the Twins, playing their last spring training game today. Others play Saturday, Sunday. The regular season starts Sunday. Friday and Saturday in spring training. The openers Sunday and Monday.
Three of them on Sunday. I'm not a big fan of that. I like the Sunday night game that the Cubs and the Cardinals are going to play in. I think that's fantastic. But they got two games in the afternoon that just, I don't know. Used to be the Reds used to have the first game at, it was usually 12 noon, 1 o'clock in Cincinnati on that first day, and that kind of went by the boards as television took over a little bit. But now you've got games coming up on Sunday. I think there are three of them, right?
The Yankees in Tampa Bay at noon Central Time, San Francisco at Arizona at 3, and then you have that Cubs-Cardinals game Sunday night.
Why not just let the Cubs and Cardinals take center stage? Why have?
I'd be good with that.
Why have three games? Why have three games that day? That's just my opinion.
Television.
Well, I know. I know. Trevor Rosenthal, by the way, for the Cardinals, is going to start the season on the disabled list with a lat strain that revealed by the St. Louis Cardinals today. Should be a very entertaining series. Cubs and Cardinals opening things up. Hopefully better weather down in St. Louis than we are seeing here today. That's for sure. 9 minutes past the hour of 3 o'clock here on the program. We're going to talk to John Cranton coming up here in just a little bit and get his thoughts about the NCAA Final Four as well as some NBA games coming up this evening as well. Hello, Mark.
Oh, I thought you needed to turn my mic on. I'm sorry.
No, I got it. You're on. You're ready to go.
Looking forward to see what John Cranton has to say about the NCAA Final Four games. We're going to talk some NBA and the NIT Final is tonight. And that involves TCU, the team that knocked out the Iowa Hawkeyes, and Georgia Tech. So that live from Madison Square Garden.
Should be a very entertaining game coming up tonight. And if you're a Hawkeye fan, do you want TCU to bring home the hardware tonight?
I think Iowa fans have moved on.
Don't care?
I think so.
Okay. I would imagine you're right, but is this truly to find out who the 69th best team is as far as college basketball is concerned?
Those two teams are better than a lot of teams, obviously, that got in the NCAA tournament.
TCU's a good team. Getting to watch them in Iowa City a couple weeks ago, that is a very good basketball team. And Jamie Dixon's going to make them better and better each and every year. By the way, Anthony Grant was named the coach at Dayton today. Now, Grant was the coach at Alabama. He's been the coach at a couple other places as well, but he's been the assistant coach for Billy Donovan at Oklahoma City the last couple of seasons, I do believe. Very interesting choice to go to Dayton. He's going to replace Archie Miller, of course, who went on to Bloomington, Indiana.
Big shoes to fill.
To take over the reins of the Indiana Hoosiers. Both those guys with big shoes to fill. And Grant's been very hit or miss through his years as far as college basketball is concerned. He is a Dayton grad, though. He's a Flyer. I'm surprised DP's name didn't come up with that. He's a former Dayton Flyer. Probably had to take a pay cut to take over college basketball team.
A guy not taking a pay cut is Jared Utoff, and we reported that yesterday that he had signed a long-term deal or a multi-year deal with the Dallas Mavericks. Did you catch highlights of his first NBA hoop?
I did. He missed, a little hook, came back, stuck with it, got his own rebound in very Jared Utoff-like fashion, and put it back up and in.
Schooled DeMarcus Cousins. No, maybe not.
I don't know about that.
But yeah, Utoff, 2 points, two rebounds, an assist in 3 minutes. And as promised, Rick Carlisle is going to try to give Jared Utoff some more playing time here within the last, seven or eight games?
Yeah.
Hopefully more than 3 minutes, see what Jared can do.
Good. Need to see him out there and getting things going. So looking forward to that. Also looking forward tomorrow to the APC being down in Iowa City for the KGYM road trip coming up on Friday, March the 31st, from 4 o'clock until 7 o'clock. It's KGYM road trip driven by Linder Tire Service, online at lindertire.com. Stop on by. Your chance to win some great KGYM prizes. All you need to do is get a raffle ticket when you walk in the door tomorrow from Kyle, and they will take care of you coming up at Coach's Corner, 749 Mormon Trek Boulevard in the Walden Square. And that will be from 4 o'clock until 7 o'clock tomorrow. So looking forward to that. Going to get a Bowling Night in America wrap from last night. And I'll just let you in on a little secret. There was no kissing last night. That is my...
You put your foot down finally,
I think... I don't know. We'll see. They were in the adjacent lane, too, and I was a little nervous at times. But nothing like that happened last night. So everything came out okay. Everything was good. That's a tease, as they call it in the industry. So we will get to more on that coming up here in just a little bit. We got a full show. Go ahead.
Well, you mentioned the AP All-American team. CBS Sports has come out with its college basketball All-American team. Monte Morris, second team All-American by CBS Sports.
But not a first, second, or third teamer All-American teams that came out yesterday.
No. CBS Sports has Frank Mason, Lonzo Ball, Josh Hart, Sendarius Thornwell, and Caleb Swanigan on the first team.
By the way, Thornwell today sick. was not at South Carolina practice down in Phoenix today, excused by the team and Frank Martin, back at the hotel room under the weather. So hopefully he's going to be ready to go by
Saturday. Can't afford to lose him, that's for sure.
No, they will be done if they don't have Sedarius Dornwell. So we wish him the best. I think he'll be fine. By the way, South Carolina, one of the newbies coming into the Final Four. We'll talk about that with John Cranton here in just a couple minutes.
Three out of the four coaches newbies in the Final Four.
Including the coach of the year from the AP, Mark Few, who checked things out and got that award. All right, 14 past 3, jam-packed show. We'll come back. John Cranton will join us. We'll talk Final Four with John and some NBA games when we come back here in the gym class at KGYM.
A piece of cake, a Sunday morning, ABC. Those are easy. So is earning the power rate and ATM refunds with power checking at Midwest One Bank. 9 out of 10 new users of power checking say they'd recommend it because it's easy to qualify and easy to use. Don't settle for free checking when you can earn the power rate with power checking at Midwest One. Open your account at MidwestOne.com today. Qualifications apply. Maximum $15 in ATM fee refunds per qualification cycle. Member FDIC.
The ball explodes off your club face like a rocket. It flies across the beautiful blue sky and nestles right next to the pin. That's what keeps us all coming back. Hey folks, Dave Austed here. Hardly any of us are going to make the pro tour, but we always have that itch to play because of that one shot. At Austed's Golf, we love the game as much as you do. Golf Digest just selected Austed's Golf one of the top fitters in the nation. Find out why. Go online at Austed's.com or visit your local Austed's to schedule your personal club fitting. Your one shot is waiting. Play better, have fun, and shop Austed's.
Good morning, Craig.
Chicken biscuit, Jerry.
What?
Chicken biscuit. You know, delicious chicken on a buttermilk biscuit. It's how Chick-fil-A says good morning. So it's how I say good morning now, too.
Good morning, Craig.
Chicken biscuit, Samantha. And a chicken biscuit to you, too, Bill.
Yeah, I feel like that's going to confuse people.
Really? I don't see how. The sun is shining, the birds are chirping. This morning really is a chicken biscuit. Hey, Keith, top of the chicken biscuit to you, man.
Stop in the Chick-fil-A before 10:30 a.m. and try the Chick-fil-A chicken biscuit.
Hawkeyes, Cyclones, Panthers, and all the college teams in the area. If it's in the news, they'll be talking about it. Scott Unash and Mark Dukes on the Gym Class, KGYM.
Hi, and welcome back. 316 from our studios in the southwest side of Cedar Rapids. As we are getting ready to talk to John Cranton coming up here in just a couple of moments, and then Bob Herrig will be joining us as well here in just a little bit, as we will talk about the Masters and other things, golf, coming up with senior golf writer from ESPN.com. That'll be here in just a little bit. And looking forward to the Final Four. I think it's going to be a very, very entertaining weekend down in Phoenix. And should be fun. Always is. Had some good Final Four games here lately.
Yeah, I'm trying to evaluate the whole NCAA tournament, and I mean, there were some gripping games, but the whole tournament, I just didn't get the sense that it was that dramatic as opposed to other years. Did you get the same feeling or not?
Some games, yes. They had a lot of close games, but maybe not the over. There was only one overtime game so far, I believe. And you usually have a few more than that, but we'll see. We'll see. Maybe the best is yet to come, Mark.
Yeah, that's true.
Maybe the best is yet to come. And with that in mind, we bring in John Cranton from Jim Fice Sports in Las Vegas. Follow him on Twitter. Follow Jim on Twitter at Jim Fice Sports. And jimfice.com is the website. Live from Las Vegas, Nevada. How you doing, John?
You got that right. Well, I'm not wearing a hat today, gentlemen. We all talked about spring being around the corner, and now the Vegas, the winds are whipping off the Vegas desert. It's like a hurricane outside, but maybe spring is delayed just a tiny bit.
Well, the NIT championship game tonight, John, and maybe not on a lot of people's radar, but I know TCU had knocked Iowa out of the tournament, so there might be a little more interest here in that game than otherwise. But what do you have on this game?
Well, it should be a good game. It's certainly worth watching tonight. NIT title from Madison Square Garden. And we've seen the money come in on TCU, the big front court of TCU, up to 4-point favorite now, and the total's gone up to 134. But it's a fascinating matchup between two outstanding defensive teams who have been super motivated this entire tournament. This TCU team, Jamie Dixon has taken over, rebuilding the program, and part of the money coming in on him is that he's familiar with Madison Square Garden, having been at Pitt all those years, and he's been great there, a 27-15 record. They're a number four seed, and they've been great in this tournament. They took Richmond down by 20 points, and a lot of people like Central Florida the other day, and yet they manhandled them with that big front court, 68-53. So it's a team that is tough to match up against up front. But don't forget this junior guard in Kenrick Williams. He has added balance to the offense. He had the first triple-double in TCU history in this tournament, a guard with 14 rebounds, 10 assists, and 11 points. So they're clicking right now. One concern I have with them is that all season long, when they step up to face a team with a winning record, they haven't really been very good against the Vegas number of 6-12 against the spread. And they've got quite a challenge here in this Georgia Tech team, because they brought in this first-year coach in Josh Pastner, and everybody said it's a rebuilding year for the Yellow Jackets, and they probably won't be any good. Well, it is a rebuilding year, but they've been exceptionally good. They've really overachieved, and they have a terrific 1-2 punch to watch tonight. The freshman guard, Josh Okoji, has been great all season long and had a great tournament. And then they get this junior center up front, and Ben Lammer, 6'10". He's been very impressive for the season, very consistent, 14 points, 9 rebounds per game. But in tournament play, he has been immense up front, 8 blocks in one of the most recent games. So they're playing exceptionally well, too. And when they face a team with a winning record all season long, they've been great, 14-3 against the Vegas number. And here they are in the role of underdog. But the way I'm going to look at tonight's game, you know, this time of the year, the teams want to win a title, and here they are, even if it's not the big dance. And both these teams play great defense all season long. When Georgia Tech faces a team with a winning percentage above 60%, they're all about slowing the pace down and going to defense, 20-8 under the total. They've held 5 consecutive opponents to under 40% shooting for the field, so you know you're going to get a great defensive effort out of them. And Jamie Dixon knows how to preach defense as well. And TCU is playing non-conference games. They're 22-10 under the total. So that's the way I look at this game. I'll go with an upset here of Georgia Tech winning, but it's not going to be a high-scoring game. I'll go with Georgia Tech 60-58 tonight.
That is the NIT, and we turn our attention to the Final Four coming up on Saturday. John, I think two very entertaining games, going to be good ones. Let's start off with Gonzaga and South Carolina. South Carolina's never been to the Final Four before. Gonzaga's never been to the Final Four before. So interesting stuff here, by the way. Thornwell with sickness today, not at practice for the Final Four today.
Yeah, I heard that. It hasn't affected the betting number that much. Gonzaga, 6.5-point favorite now up to 7, and the total's come down a little bit. And, you know, when this tournament started, a lot of people in Vegas said, you know, there's really no dominant team in college basketball. Don't be surprised if there's quite a few upsets. Jim was in that ballpark, too. And what do we have here with 4 teams left? We got a South Carolina team that had its first Big Dance win since 1973. We've got a West Coast Conference team in Gonzaga for the first time since Bill Russell was at San Francisco back in the 50s. And then Oregon, as many as 1939. So when you just line up the who was in the presidential administrations in those teams that I just mentioned those years, you're talking about Ike, Nixon, and FDR. So it's been quite a surprise tournament all around. I'm sure a lot of brackets got blown up. So here we have a terrific game, number 7-seeded South Carolina against number 1-seeded Gonzaga. The betting public generally thinks that Gonzaga's going to take this game, but it's a very good South Carolina team. What a run of confidence they are on. Terrific coach. They played great defense the entire season, not just in the tournament play. During the regular season, they were 8th lowest at defending the three-pointer all season long, 30% from long range, and they had some tough matchups in that department during tournament play. Marquette was number 1 at hitting 43% from long range, and they did a very good job. Marquette was on 11 of 28 from long range, and of course Duke can kill you with all their options, and yet they were exceptional shutting down and upsetting Duke in that game. So it's a team that's winning games and covering with this great zone defense. We notice when South Carolina plays at neutral sites, they're 21-8 against the Vegas number, and in non-conference games going back several years, they're 38-18 against the Vegas number. Mm-hmm. So very overachieving Gamecock club. And then you get Gonzaga, which has been in the national spotlight all season long, only 1 defeat. And Iowa State came very close to knocking them off, too, in a 2-point game. And that was a smaller Cyclone team. That's kind of what they're going to be facing here tonight, on Saturday, a smaller South Carolina team. They have 1 big guy up front who's very good at shot blocking, but it's largely Thornwell who carries the offense. And Gonzaga is just such a difficult team to match up with a couple of seven-footers. Karnowski gets the most of the attention being a senior center, but don't overlook the seven-footer in Zach Collins. He's only a freshman. You see him coming off the bench quite a bit, but some of the NBA scouts who've taken a look at him said this guy is going to go somewhere in the first or second round. He certainly has NBA potential. They have been dominant defensively for much of the season as well as in the postseason, and they got a veteran backcourt too, so it's the best team that Mark Few has had in a while, and they're certainly living up to their potential. The one thing I wonder about, even though they cover a lot of Vegas betting numbers, 36-15 and 2 spread run for Gonzaga, and that is the pressure. Now, some people have talked to said the pressure's off Gonzaga now. It was there earlier in the tournament because of some of their past falling short when they step up in competition, but I still wonder about it. Here is the Final Four. They've only had one loss the entire season. Is the pressure on them? That's certainly not the case with South Carolina. We'd say that they're playing with the house's money at this point, and they've been playing with it. So I'm going to have to look at a terrific South Carolina defense getting the job done again. No pressure on this to them. This kid Thornwell is outstanding. So I'm going to look at a very close game here, and I'm going to have to lean toward the underdog and keep them close, but Gonzaga will probably find a way to win. I'll go with a 70-66, a close one on Saturday.
Speaking of money, John, it's old money against new money in the other semifinal, North Carolina and Oregon, a Ducks team that has not been to this stage since 1939. We know North Carolina is a terrific rebounding team, and Oregon's still without one of its best inside players. So how do you figure this one?
Well, it's an interesting game, too. Another one, we got North Carolina open 4.5, now up to 5, and the total's gone up quite a bit, up to 152 now. So one of the odds makers are saying, hey, this is going to be an offensive show here. You know, we talked about South Carolina overachieving under this very strong coaching staff. And don't forget Oregon. Dana Altman has had success no matter where he's been in college basketball, and he's got this Oregon Duck team playing exceptionally well. They're a number 3 seed with 33 wins on the year, placing a number 1 seed, so it's more of the top seeds or the top 3 seeds meeting here, which is kind of traditional this time of year. But Oregon's played exceptionally well. Yeah, they did have the loss of one of their key big men early on the year, but we've seen them play exceptionally great defense in this tournament. And look at some of the teams they played. Everybody, a lot of the people were hoping that Michigan, kind of a fan favorite after what they went through, would have a long tournament run. Well, they beat this Michigan team by a point in a terrific game. And then they took on number 1 seed at Kansas and totally dominated. So clearly, this Oregon team, we just talked about pressure that last series. This Ducks team is playing like a team that is also playing with the house's money. They weren't expected to get this far. So I can't believe there's a lot of they're feeling any heat at all. And I got to believe they're going to be loose and confident on Saturday when Oregon is in the role of underdog, 38-16 against the spread. They have been exceptional for over a year now. Then you got North Carolina. You know, clearly the best talent of the 4 teams left is this loaded Tar Heels team. And, you know, a year ago against Villanova, they were favored in that title game and came up short by a point. But they've been very good in some of these close games. They took off Kentucky in the last weekend by 2 points and nail-biter with a nice comeback. But what stood out is this great North Carolina front court. They out-rebounded Kentucky, which isn't easy to do, by 10 rebounds. So that's clearly a strength. Even when the outside game isn't there, North Carolina can go to it. So they have terrific balance up front. But I'm going to have to look at the rebounding edge being the difference. But, boy, them routing this or, you know, beating Oregon by double digits or something, no, not the way that Oregon's playing right now, playing loose. So I'll go with another close one here. I'll lean toward the underdog. I'll go with 79-76 North Carolina. I don't think either of these games Saturday are going to be blowouts, however.
Yeah, I think they should be very good games. That would make it a Gonzaga-North Carolina final. I know there's no line on that out, obviously, as of yet, but you got to think Carolina would be probably, what, 4 or 5 point pick in that one?
Yeah, I was asking an odds maker just last weekend if that was the matchup, and he said around 3, but yeah, you get the right idea, around 3-4 in that ballpark. A slight favorite for the team that is always here against the Gonzaga team, correct?
NBA tonight, John, Cleveland Cavaliers, number 1 in the division right now as it stands by a slim margin. The Bulls on the outside looking in. I suppose this time of year you always have to pay attention to who's going to play, right?
Yeah, and here's a game where Cleveland is on the road here, 5.5-point favorite, so they're expecting LeBron and everybody to be up for it. And there's plenty of motivation for the Cavs. The thing is, you know, can you really make a case for either of these teams tonight? They've been erratic. Cleveland of late in Chicago much of the season. The Cavaliers just one game over 500 away from home all season, and what a slump they've been on. Despite all this talent, a two-game losing streak, they went to San Antonio. Didn't just lose the game the last game. They got crushed. And that continues a trend where they're not playing very good basketball. 5-8 over the last 13 games, and then 4-8-1 against the Vegas number. And LeBron James made some comments. Boy, a lot of people are talking in our clubhouse. He didn't denigrate anybody. He just said guys are trying to step up in a leadership capacity. But what really stands out with Cleveland is they're just not playing any defense. I mean, this is a team that won the title last year, and these last six games, a losing record of 2-4, giving up almost 115 points per game. That is not common with this Cavaliers team. It's not common with defending champs. So there are some significant problems with the defense, and you think that Cleveland and LeBron in a bounce-back mode off of a double-digit loss would be pretty good that next game, but that's not the case. When they lose by 10 or more games, they're 16-32 against the Las Vegas number in those scenarios. So all of that makes me say, no, I'm not going to be jumping on Cleveland in a bounce-back, especially on the road. And then you get a Bulls team. They do have a winning record at home. And while erratic at times, they are playing pretty well of late, 5-1 against the Vegas number. And there's plenty of motivation, not only at home. They're sitting at the number 9 seed here in the East, so they're still on the bubble. And we saw them come up the last game with a terrific effort against Milwaukee, winning by 15 points in a game that they needed to win. And they're also working on 3 full days of rest, very unusual this time and certainly needed late in the season. So the way I'm going to look at tonight's game, though, is an offensive show, because Chicago has had Cleveland's number, if you can believe that. They've won all 3 games during the regular season. They won 4 straight going back to last year and 6 of the last 7 meetings. So it's been a tough series for Cleveland. And Cleveland, going back even further, is just 7-22 against the spread when they face the Chicago team. In addition, the underdog has been sensational, 17-5 against the spread. And here Chicago is in the role of home dog, and a significant home dog of 5.5. So I would lean towards the underdog, and I would lean toward a high-scoring game, as both teams have some defensive deficiencies, number 21 in field goal shooting defense for the season, the Bulls are. And the Cleveland Cavaliers aren't that much better. 16th in field goal to shooting defense, and they're 21st in the NBA at defending the three as well as points allowed. So look for an offensive show, because keep in mind, Cleveland, after they lose a game, they're 17-5 over the total. So I'll go with a very strong effort by the Bulls tonight, keeping this close, maybe even pulling the upset, and a high-scoring tilt.
One more game. We can hear it tonight at 8:30 right here on KGYM. Houston and Portland. Portland trying to hold on to the number 8 spot as far as the West is concerned. They've got a one-game lead over the Denver Nuggets at this point. Houston's in. Looked like they're going to be the number 3 seed. So, interesting. In Portland, at home, a lot to play for. Does that give the edge to the Trail Blazers?
Well, the Vegas number is basically pick 'em. Portland was a small underdog last night, but now it's pick 'em, and the total's gone up to 231.5, and not surprising, as these teams are loaded with talented guard play. They love to run the court. The thing about Houston, though, is they're just so good. They come off a loss to Golden State, the mighty Warriors, who seem to be pulling away now for that number 1 seed. However, before that, they had won 7 out of 8 games, so Houston playing exceptionally well behind James Harden. And when Houston faces weak defensive teams, boy, they not only win, but they blow teams out. Harden, in particular, has really roasted this Blazer defense all season, which is not good. In 2 games, they've won both, and he's averaged 32 points, 12 assists, and 7 rebounds. And Houston has won both of those games by over 16 points per game. Portland, not a great team overall with a losing record on the year. They are on a hot streak, though, of late behind that guard play. But when they step up to play some of the elite teams, I really can't back them here. The Rockets have done very well winning the last 3 regular season meetings. And I would have to lean toward the visitors here, because when you look at some of the Vegas trend numbers, boy, does it favor Houston by a whopping margin. The Rockets are 11, or the road team is 11-5 against the spread in Houston when they're playing here in Portland. They feel right at home, 10-3-1 against the Vegas number. But also keep in mind, These teams do not play defense when they play each other. 20-6 over the total, including 9-2 over here in Portland. Mm-hmm. And that's the way I look at this game. No defense tonight in a fun, high-scoring shootout. And I'll lean slightly with the Rockets.
John, appreciate the insights as always. Tell us more about Jim Feist Sports, and if you have a free play, we'd love to have it.
Sure. If you want to get free plays on a recorded message, just call 888-294-1970. And I'll go with a double dog tonight, a double parlay. We'll go to the Chicago Bulls in the NBA, a home underdog. And we'll go with the Georgia Tech, an underdog with that great defense, to keep it close tonight. You can also check out all free sports information daily at jimfeist.com.
Can't wait for the Masters odds next week, John.
Masters in baseball, gentlemen. Are your engines ready?
We're ready
to
go.
We are ready to go. Thanks,
yeah,
John.
All right, guys. I'll see you next week.
All right. John Krant joining us Thursdays here in the gym class from Las Vegas here at 3:34. We're going to talk some Masters coming up here in just a little bit. We're going to talk to Bob Herrig of ESPN.com, senior golf writer. He's going to be at Augusta coming up next week. Mike Halas is going to be going to Augusta next week as well to cover things for the Cedar Rapids Gazette. I know he told us on Monday he's going to have a nice piece on Sunday. 10 years since Zach Johnson burst out onto the international scene, not the national scene, but the international scene of winning the Masters Golf Tournament.
And next week, we're going to visit with Zach's dad, right?
Yeah, Caddy Smack getting starting next week right here on KGYM. Looking forward to that. That should be a whole lot of fun. Also a whole lot of fun going to be coming up on April the 22nd, the Schulte Swan Prom. It's going to be held at the Doubletree by Hilton Convention Complex in downtown Cedar Rapids. Tickets are on sale now. Surprise your significant other with some tickets there. Theater Cedar Rapids box office, 3rd Street Southeast, downtown Cedar Rapids. That is one site. Elevate Salon and Spa, Edgewood Station Southwest and inside the Lindale Mall, as well as Hertina Stocker Jewelers, Dubuque Street on the Penn Mall down in downtown Iowa City. Tickets are $20 each, cash only, please. And good for a great night of fun, cake, hors d'oeuvres, and a party to remember that only Z102.9 can provide. You can fill in the details and read between the lines of that one. So, should be a lot of fun. More info at Z102.9 at KZIA.com on the Z102.9 page. Just look up Schulte and Swan Prom. Be a lot of fun. You got your tux all ready for that one yet?
You know, I don't, Scott.
You don't have to wear a tux. You can just wear something nice. That would suffice as well. You can do some Dancing with the Stars moves, Mark. Come on, man.
Is that on a Saturday?
Yes. That's a Saturday. Make your plans to be there. All right. We're going to make our plans to catch up with Bob Herrig next from ESPN.com, senior golf writer. Talk Masters with you. We'll do that when we come back.
Down by two with 3 seconds left. The ball is inbounded. They launch a three. You hold your breath, and then you go crazy when the shot drops. Ball game. These are the moments when sports do more than just entertain us. They fuel our emotions. And to help get you there, Marathon Gasoline with STP additives are now certified top tier for even greater cleaning power on game day and every day. Marathon is fueling the American spirit.
Only T-Mobile is offering a free year of MLB TV Premium. On Tuesday, April 4th, T-Mobile customers can get a 2017 MLB TV Premium subscription absolutely free, but it's only available through the T-Mobile Tuesdays app. So download T-Mobile Tuesdays today, and on April 4th, get free MLB TV Premium. With T-Mobile, unlimited data means unlimited baseball.
Top 3% of data users greater than 30 gigabytes per month may notice reduced speeds. Web-enabled mobile device and qualifying service required. Data and usage rates may apply to MLB.com. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
There's no reason to buy a 12-pack bag of flimsy plastic disposable razors to save money. Make the smarter choice. Join Dollar Shave Club. You get a fantastic high-quality shave every time for about the price of a bag of flimsy disposables. The shave's worth at least five times what they charge, and right now, new members will get their first month of any DSC razor for only $1 with free shipping. After that, it's just a few bucks a month. Get yours at dollarshaveclub.com/jones. That's dollarshaveclub.com/jones.
Guys don't really talk about antiperspirant. Despite that, 91% of Dove Men Plus Care users recommend it. Here's what they said.
It blocks the, perspiration, I think is the fancy word.
It's comfortable.
it smells nice. My girl likes the smell.
Well, it's hard. I think it's quite masculine. My underarms aren't the worst thing at the gym.
It's kind of like the Hoover Dam for my armpits, I guess.
Dove Men Plus Care Antiperspirant. Tough on sweat, not on skin.
Covering Eastern Iowa sports for more than 40 years combined. UNASH and Dukes. The Gym Class on KGYM.
We are back at 3:38 here on the Thursday edition of the Gym Class in KGYM. It'll be Mark and Alex coming up tomorrow. They will also talk to Tom Cakert coming up tomorrow in a Final Four look. You'll give your thoughts about that coming up. So that'll be on the Friday edition of the Gym Class. Mike Halas will be joining us coming up on Monday. Of course, Mike's going to be headed to Augusta National next week as he will be down there to cover Zach and everything around Zach with the Masters and also with the 10th anniversary of Zach's triumph down there at Augusta National in a very soggy, chilly 2007 tournament.
Should be fun. 25-23 on the text line as a suggestion for me regarding Schulte and Swan prom.
What would that be?
Leisure suit. I'm more likely to have a leisure suit in my closet than I am a tux.
I think we've hit upon something. A lot of guys trying to hit upon something at Augusta coming up next week as it'll be the Masters that will kick off the major golf season. As far as men is concerned, that will be coming up next week. And joining us to talk about that, our friend Bob Herrig from ESPN.com, senior golf writer, who joins us here on the program. You ready to go, Bob? You got your taste for pimento sandwiches and all that fun stuff ready to go for next week?
I have never been a fan of that sandwich, but I'm ready in every other regard.
Well, like we said, it's always special at the Masters. It's always special at Augusta National. But everyone around Eastern Iowa kind of thinking back to 10 years ago when Zach Johnson jumped out not only nationally but internationally and won that in a very soggy week at Augusta National 10 years ago.
Yeah, it's hard to believe it's been 10 years. You know, there's been so much focus on 20 years for Tiger. But 10 years ago it was Zach, and Tiger was in the mix that week. And it was a cold week. It was a, very difficult conditions. I think that's kind of what Zach needs. I don't know that it needs to be so cold, but I think wetter, softer conditions help him because – And there is forecasted rain early in the week. Because if everybody's able to go for those par fives and two, he's at a disadvantage. But if they're having to lay up because it's soggy and the course plays long, well, it doesn't hurt him on those holes. He was probably going to do that anyway. That's the strategy he used 10 years ago. He never went for a par five and still played the par fives and 13 under. So, of course, the downside of that for him is it makes the rest of the golf course play very long. And, that's not his forte. Length is not his strong suit. So, and also, his form hasn't been the greatest. So we'll have to see. We'll have to see how he, how he looks and how he, comes at it here.
Bob, last night I sat out and watched that 20-year anniversary of Tiger's victory. And I had forgotten he shot 40 on the front nine and then proceeded to play the rest of the holes 2,200 to just obliterate the field. Along with that, I noticed 20 minutes ago you tweeted that if Tiger's not playing the Masters, he has yet to inform Augusta National. What's up with that?
Well, I think what that means is he's not decided. He hasn't made up his mind yet. Obviously, protocol would be that he tells them at some point. They've got him on the interview list if he plays for next Tuesday. And, he could probably take this up to Monday if he wanted. He doesn't have to officially commit or anything like that. He's in the field. And he could withdraw and not really hurt anything. I think it would be probably protocol, though, to let them know something by Monday because they want to do the tee times. The pairings for the first two rounds, and I don't think they'd want to do them with him in and then have to tear him up and start over. It's a mystery, to be honest with you guys. I was there in Dubai when he withdrew. He did not look good that first round. They said it was back spasms, which aren't supposed to be serious. And, you know, 2 months later, he's not played. He hinted a little bit last week on his book tour that he was getting back into, you know, hitting balls and practicing, but he intimated that he had not played any holes. So that's, you know, 2 weeks before the Masters. Is that good prep? Or, you know, then again, does he need to? Does it matter? I mean, if he's ready to play golf, you know, maybe he should just come back, even if he's not competitive there. I think you get a lot of different opinions on that subject, but here we are a week from the start of the tournament, and we just don't know.
Yeah, that's the $64,000 question, especially on the 20th anniversary of Tiger winning that first Masters tournament back in 1997, and he's certainly the biggest storyline going into things here this week. And Tiger has said in the past that if he feels that he does not have a great chance to win, then he's not going to be there. I don't know how to read this. I'm with you. I think this could be 50-50 right up until the last moment on Monday. I have a feeling if he's not ready to go, I don't think he's going to be there and teeing it up, though.
Well, the idea of him not being ready to win, I think is a flaw of his thinking at this point, if that's really how he approaches it. How can he be ready to win any tournament he comes back at right now? It's yep. just not realistic. I mean, he missed, 15 months, played one tournament in the Bahamas where he looked decent, and then played three rounds of golf in January, early February, where he didn't look very good, and has been out again. I mean, he needs to be gearing up for the 2018 Masters, frankly. You know, if he could get himself to the point where he's healthy and he has no setbacks for the next year, well, that's what he should be looking at. You know, he needs to play 10, 12, 15 events and get used to competing again before we can talk about him being competitive. I mean, let's be honest, his game was not stellar when he left in 2015. And then he goes, you know, what, over a year really without really intense practice? He's just got a lot of catching up to do. So that's where, you know, that notion that you noted there, I mean, I understand that, but if he's only going to show up if he thinks he can win, well, then he probably should show up for 6 months because I just don't see that being realistic at this point or really any time in the next several months, even if he's playing.
Frankly, I think the real story is Dustin Johnson, whether he can make it four in a row, and I think wisely he took this week's show, Houston Open, off. But what's it like to watch this guy up close and personal these days?
Well, he's certainly turned a corner in the last year. He's found a way to put it all together. I think a little bit his for 8 years or so, it was maddening to watch him because you could see how good he was and you wondered why he didn't win more. And part of that was due to, I think, you know, not focusing on the right things with his game. He could hit the ball a long way, but if you don't take advantage of that by hitting your wedges and nine irons close to the hole often enough, it doesn't really matter a whole lot if you can hit it out there far. And he wasn't really doing that. And I think now he has improved that aspect. He's obviously gotten better with the short game. I would think he would say that he doesn't even feel like he's played his best. When he won in Mexico, he was really pretty shaky the first 2 days on the greens, didn't make a lot of putts. Even last week at the match play, despite never trailing, he felt that he had some room for improvement. I think that's a little scary, actually, if you think that he can get even better. Augusta National has taken him a long time to figure out. He's had top tens the last 2 years. I don't know. I don't think it matters what the conditions are for him. He's going to be in great shape to give it a run, and it'll be interesting to see how he handles it. You know, he seems to not be bothered by being number one in the world, by any of the attention going in, and in a way, that's a really good thing.
Bob Herrig, senior golf writer, ESPN.com, joining us at 3:48 here in the Thursday edition of the Gym Class. I think there's no doubt Dustin Johnson is the favorite going in. But then after that, I mean, just throw the door open. Spieth has done well, even with the so-called problems he had on the back nine last year. John Rahm could win this thing right out of the chute. He's playing that well. There's so many players right now on the PGA Tour and worldwide that can win a major. I mean, as a golf fan, you just got to take this in and say, this is just a lot of fun right now.
Yeah, there's definitely plenty of guys, I think, that could be right there. And we probably will miss a few, not even touch on them. I mean, Rory, Spieth, Jason Day, if he's able to find some form after he's been dealing with the personal issues with his mom. Ricky Fowler got off to a great start today in Houston. Justin Rose has knocked on the door there a few times. What about Phil Mickelson?
Yeah.
He's put a lot of thought and attention into this. The Houston Open doesn't mean a whole lot to him this week. He's thinking about next week. There's all kinds of great storylines. I think that's why we look forward to it so much.
Bob, what do you think of some of the new rules that the USGA and the RNA are going to be putting into place here soon?
Well, I think in general it's a good idea. I mean, I think there's a couple of ones we could quibble about, and they're going to wait to get a bunch of feedback and think over a few things. But the idea of simplifying the rule book, paring it down, making the language simpler, also taking putting some common sense into some of these things, like what happened to Dustin Johnson at Oakmont last year, that would not be a penalty going forward. And, let's be honest, it's silly.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it created a firestorm that just made the game look horrible. And that's all anybody was talking about, was just this crazy rule where the ball backed up, didn't even go closer to the hole, a minuscule amount. He never touched it, didn't even look like he did anything. And they determined it was his fault. That won't happen if this all goes through. Some other things just for the recreational players, some of the things they're talking about, if you really want to play by the rules, being able to leave the flag stick in, what a great idea. That way you don't waste time going to take it out. I think there's several things that they'll look at. The spike mark one, I think, where they're saying you can repair spike marks. I think that could open up a can of worms. They have to be careful on that. But for the most part, the fact that they've taken all this time, this has been a 5-year process, and gone through it, and they would be changing the rule book from 34 rules and all their subsets to 24. I think that's great. One of the big issues with golf is its complexity, and it's daunting to try to understand all the rules I think it's bad for the sport on a spectator level when these rulings pop up that seem to make no sense. So good for them, I hope they're able to get it figured out as best they can.
I think the drop procedure makes a whole lot of sense too. How about you?
Yeah, I mean it seems silly to have to have this proper technique to drop. Mm-hmm. I mean just. If you're getting a drop, just put the ball down. It shouldn't matter from what height. That led to other things, because then the ball would roll. If it would roll forward, then you had to do it again. So now you just get to, it's almost like placing it. You basically have to have it a little bit off the ground, mm-hmm. and that's what guys will do. And it's simpler and leads to, I think, less issues with even taking an improper drop. So, I think it's just common sense. It makes that's my main thing on this, is a lot of these changes are common sense. You look at it from afar and you always would wonder, why do they do it that way? And now I think it's going back a little bit more towards trusting the players. It's supposed to be a game of integrity and honesty. Give them the benefit of the doubt instead of, assuming the worst.
I would agree. Before we let you go here, Bob, It'll be the first Masters without the king, Arnold Palmer. I imagine a lot of tributes down at Augusta National. They do it very, very well, and it will certainly be a different week in Augusta this week.
Yeah, you know, just like his tournament a couple of weeks ago, it's, you know, especially that first day when he would have been there on the first tee, it's sad. You know, for the players to go to the Champions Dinner, that part of it is sad. It's still kind of hard to believe that he's gone, you know, because he was still very, very sharp. And, yeah, there's no doubt. I have a sense that Augusta National is planning some sort of tribute. They have not said what that will be, but I'm sure it'll be very, very nice. And, you know, it'll be fitting because he deserves it.
Yeah, I would agree. And Bob, enjoy the experience. It's always fun to go down to Augusta and take in the Masters, and we'll read all your stuff at ESPN.com. And as always, thanks a lot for joining us. Appreciate it.
Thanks a lot for having me, guys. Take care.
You bet. 354, Bob Herrig. Read his stuff at ESPN.com. Good stuff indeed. All right, quick break. Come back. Wrap on bowling last night when we return.
The KGYM Road Trip comes to you live with the Afternoon Players Club. This is your chance to hang out while the APC is broadcasting and get your hands on some swag from the gym. Plus, other prizes. Pick up your raffle ticket when you walk in the door. Want to know when it's happening? Find the road trip schedule at KGYMradio.com. The KGYM Road Trip, live from Coach's Corner Sports Pub, Mormon Trek Boulevard in Iowa City. Driven by Linder Tire Service, online at LinderTire.com.
May City Bowl is always a good time, Dukes.
Even when we're not bowling so great, Scott.
Well, May City Bowl does it right. A full-service pro shop for serious bowlers.
And fun for everyone, like Glow Bowling Friday and Saturday nights.
Our team, the Rusty Nails, is in the Mature League, but they have leagues for every age and skill.
And you can call ahead for open lane times.
So whether you're leaguers or just want to have fun, it's always a great time at May City Bowl, off Williams Boulevard, Southwest in Cedar Rapids, the official sponsor of Bowling Night in America on the gym.
They go to the ballpark to watch the game. Scott Unash and Mark Dukes, the gym class, KGYM.
Back with you here on the Thursday edition of the gym class in KGYM. Emil's Hideaway poll question is up. Will the Chicago Cubs repeat as World Series champions in 2017, yes or no? That is our question. Thanks to Emil's Hideaway, First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids. We've got Colonel's tickets to give away right now. Our thank you very much, Mark. Our opening day double play tickets to give away. Two pair. We're going to give those to caller number 5 and caller number 6, 319-366-1600. That's 319-366-1600. You are going to pick up those tickets. So give Alex a call right now. And again, if you've been a winner of the last 30 days, please do not call in. Otherwise, you are eligible. By the way, stick around shortly after 4 o'clock at the start of the APC. We're going to have a big announcement coming up for you to take in. So we invite you to stick with us. For that, we know you always stick in with the APC anyway. We always know that you are eagerly anticipating on Thursdays what happens on Wednesdays during the winter. It is our Bowling Night in America wrap-up brought to you by May City Bowl, Trent Street Southwest in Cedar Rapids. Hello, Mark.
Hello, you were on last night. I was off, and all I got to say, there's going to be hell to pay next week.
Why?
Rusty Swires is coming back. He's bowling the last 4 weeks of April, and he insisted we stay on the left-hand side of the standings.
Yeah.
The 12-team standings. We have slipped to 7th.
We're on the right side now.
We're on top of the standings, but on the wrong side of the sheet as we dropped 3 out of 4 last night.
He's not going to be happy.
He is not. But perhaps he can do something about that as well. We'll see. Yeah, we dropped 3 out of 4, and Mike Hoskins, our league secretary, bowled out of his mind. I'll just say that. But
he said you were scared. He said you were scared.
Well, of course I am when he bowls like that. Anyway, Rusty Nails slipping to 60-60 on the year. Again, 7th place, 4 weeks remaining in the mature Evergreen League. Jeff Durnline hot last night, 269, 713. Mike Robinson, high series, 719. Only 2 700s. Last night, our own Scott Unash, by the way, the 6th best series on the lanes last night, threatening the 200 average mark. He You're up to 198?
Up to 198.
What has gotten into you this year?
I have no idea. I hope it transfers to golf. I know that.
What do you have, 650-something, 660-something?
I trimmed Mike last night.
Yeah.
He wasn't happy about that either. He was, other than winning three, he just wasn't happy last night. I don't know. Bowling well. I can't explain it. It's sports. It's the world's greatest reality show. But we'll take it until the horse bucks us off.
I'm happy you didn't get a kiss on the cheek last
night.
No, that's progress.
Nothing like that.
May City Bowl, 362-0136. If you want to inquire about open bowling, the upcoming summer leagues, pro shop out there, Andy Dirk's doing a great job. Visit the website as well, maycitybowlcr.com.
All right. Alex and Mark take you through the Friday edition. I'll be back coming up on Monday. Stick around. We got a big announcement coming up for you just after the top of the hour, 4 o'clock with the APC. Congratulations to Rich and Sean. They've got the tickets.
This just in, Wendy's is adding the quarter pound double stack as an option in the 4 for $4 for a limited time. With so much beef, that's a deal so good it should not exist. In related news, because their wings are too small for their bodies, bumblebees should not be able to fly. Here to comment, bees.
Wait, we're not supposed to fly?
Kinda like how a quarter pound of beef should not be in the 4 for $4.
Yet it is. That's over a quarter pound of fresh beef with 4 nuggets, fries, and a Coke, all for just $4. Any other bee puns?
No, we're good, honey.
At participating Wendy's for a limited time, meal includes 4-piece nuggets, small fries, and drink. Fresh beef available in the contiguous U.S., Alaska, and Canada. Not valid in Alaska and Hawaii.
Napa know-how. A Napa guy knows that by the foot, there's no better ride.